It's Friday, March 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you. It's actually show version 2. I'll tell you about it in a few minutes, but otherwise, we're going to have a lot of fun. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and I'm coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everybody? Are you ready for the weekend? I'm absolutely ready, as I'm sure you are as well. But I tell you, it turned out to be kind of an interesting day. I got done with work at the normal time. I rolled in here to the house and got settled in, and my wife had called, and she says, hey, I'm at the hairdresser. I'm getting my hair done, and the kids are here, and if I don't get done at the hairdresser soon enough, can you go pick the kids up? And I said, yeah, sure. So give me a call if you don't get done. And she called me just as a matter of fact, I was just getting ready to roll out the door, and she called and says, hey, I'm done. I'm going to pick the kids up. You don't have to leave and backtrack to go get them. So I thought, awesome, I don't have to get out in the traffic. So I had taken that advantage of that time, and she had already had some stuff in a crock pot, so I didn't have to worry about helping getting dinner on. And so I was up here in the office. I had already worked up and gotten my, you know, went through and loaded a whole bunch of stuff up in Feed Demon, had the show almost all laid out. So this was like at 6 o'clock. Now, it's 9:39 right now. We're just starting, okay? 9:39 p.m. So you're thinking, all right, he had the show laid out at 6, and how come he's starting at 9:30? Well, took the time, had dinner, thinking, I got everything laid out. I'm good to go. Got the kids a bath, you know, all the stuff that spend a little extra time normally that I don't have on show nights. And said, okay, I'm ready to go. I can go in here and fire up the recorder, and I can jump right in and go. I got to the computer, and the computer wasn't, like, moving. Nick Bradbury, if you're listening to me, sometimes Feed Demon turns evil on me. And I had a whole bunch of tabs opened up, and it decided that it did not want to work no more, and it crashed, and I lost every article that I had already preloaded, and I was just sitting here stunned. It hasn't happened in months, so I don't know what happened. But Nick, if you're listening to the show, please make that thing have some sort of fail-safe that it will recover all those tabs. And I want to use Firefox in there. I think it's Internet Explorer is what's doing it, because that's what it's loading in tabs. But tell me how to do that, my friend. I'd definitely appreciate it. But anyway, I've got everything. Most of the stuff I was able to refine and get ready to go. So I got a great show for you tonight. And I got a few things to go over real quick before we get going. But I did get an email from Rob out of Lansing. Hey, Rob, thanks for dropping me. I mean, like 5 minutes ago, I listened to the voicemails, and I've got your telephone number, so I'll definitely be calling you. We are definitely in the hunt for another PHP developer. If you have contacted us in the past, we have got the door wide open again for PHP developers. So definitely send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Really looking to add somebody very, very quickly additionally to the team. So again, geeknews@gmail.com. Now, I have an announcement. We're going to cancel the roundtable that is scheduled for tomorrow. The reason for that is, well, this announcement that I was going to make on last Sunday, we're not ready. And the roundtable was a big portion of this week's round, or this month's roundtable, was to do with that announcement. So we're going to wait. And next Saturday will be the roundtable versus this coming weekend. So I apologize to anyone that had already, blocked some time out to attend. And of course, I've sent an email blast to everyone on the mailing list that's over on the techpodcast.com mailing list, that is, letting them know that the actual roundtable has been canceled. But we will be up and ready to go next Saturday on that, of course, using GoToMeeting. For those of you that have attended a past roundtable, you'll see, you have seen how powerful GoToMeeting is. And of course, these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail just is not enough. And that's why you should try GoToMeeting. It's a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business, associate, family, and friends. The ability to host online meeting is a must in today's world. With GoToMeeting, it's just like you're all in the same room. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here and, of course, over at the Tech Podcast Network as well. All right, what else have I got kicking here? Hey, I want to wish my sister a happy birthday. I won't tell how old she is today, but have a happy birthday, and I hope you have many, 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 many more. And what else is going on? Let's see here. I'm looking at my little list here. Don't have a lot of notes because, quite frankly, I was a little bit frustrated earlier. So you know how you get when something just doesn't go right, you get a little red in the face, and a few choice words may come out of your mouth. It was one of those early evenings. But, for recently, and I don't know what it is, but ever since I got that voicemail in about the Red Bull being really bad for your teeth, I've really kind of tried to tone back not only drinking the Red Bulls and the Mountain Dew and anything else with a lot of caffeine in it. I've tried to wean myself, and I really didn't drink a lot in the to begin with. Maybe on a weekly basis, I was drinking probably 2 Red Bulls a week and maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 cans of soda a week. So I've cut that back and trying to save the calories anyway to lose some weight. And I've gotten this hankering lately for Perrier. And I was bugging Shoko. I said, can you get me some, can you pick up a case of Perrier when you're out? And she's like looking at me like, what do you want that for? And I'm like, I don't know. I just got a hankering for it. So this is not a paid endorsement. That's what I have on the desk this evening. And versus having iced tea, I've got some Perrier with lime already preloaded in it. So it does not taste too bad. But isn't that funny how we get sometimes we just get a hankering for something? A couple of months ago, it was ginger ale. And, I hadn't drank ginger ale for like 20 years and just had to have it. And now it's kind of worked out of my system. What do you guys got a habit for? What do you guys got a hankering for food or drinks or whatever that you're consuming these days? Anything weird that's popped up like that? I don't know what it is. How about you? Okay, let me look here. I think I've got all my notes covered. One thing I do have is I've got a great announcement, or actually not an announcement, but I'm going to be playing a track from Brother Love's new album. It's exclusive. You're only going to hear it here. And, you may hear it a couple different places, but definitely not too many different places you're going to hear this track. We'll play it at the end of the show, or maybe I'll drop it in somewhere. I'm pretty excited about playing this. And of course, Brother Love is going to be performing along with Kings County in New York City on April 7th on our fundraiser for cystic fibrosis. And of course, if you are in the tri-state area, if you live in Jersey, or you live in the city, or you live in the outskirts, please consider coming out to the concert. If you're going to be at PodCamp NYC, that is going to be the concert's going to be going down the second night. So, great opportunity if you're in New York for that event. You can find out the information on the concert and how you can get involved in supporting us at Blueberry on cystic fibrosis by going to Blueberry Jam, BlueBRryJam.com. Again, BlueBRryJam.com. Now, all the money that we're collecting goes 100% for the foundation, And we hope that you'll contribute, even if it's $5. We've got a PayPal link there. We'd appreciate any of the donations that would come in for cystic fibrosis, and we definitely appreciate it. Okay, let me get ready to kick into the content, but let's take care of a little business for first. You know, a lot of you have sent me emails as, Todd, I've been taking advantage of those hosting codes that you've been passing out, Pod58. When you go over to GoDaddy, they've got some brand new hosting. Actually, what they've done is they've increased the bandwidth, increased the storage, got the best deals in town, really, when it comes to hosting. Great 24/7 slash support, no annual commitments. And I think that support thing is really, really important. And a lot of the hosting companies that are out there today, you know, you may wait a day or two, or you have to submit a ticket to where you have to wait for information. If you have a problem with your web hosting account over at GoDaddy, you pick up the telephone, you dial an 800 number, you get online, it routes you through a little menu system, and you get in touch with a real human being that can help you with your web hosting account. So, you know, that is worth a lot of money in itself. Plans start at $3.99 a month. When you get ready to check out, make sure you use that code POD58, P-O-D-5-8. And, of course, when you're doing purchases over there for other things, you can use the enter the code TOD, T-O-D, for 10% off. Or you can use Geek5 for 15% of your order of $20 or more. Thanks for GoDaddy for being continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. And thank all of you that support our sponsor. It's definitely appreciated. All right, let me move over here to what I've got. Oh, all of those of you in Europe, congratulations. Sony has launched the PlayStation 3 console over in Europe and Australia, and it's hoping to retake its gaming crown. The question is that really going to happen? But there was some lucky people that were standing in line in London where the folks at Sony gave away everyone who bought a PS3 received a free, check this out, free 46-inch HD television and a taxi ride home. Totally amazing. So they gave 100 gamers televisions. A lucky 17-year-old was able to get the first one. He'd been waiting in line for 36 hours. But, you know, I'd stand in line for 24 hours for a free television set, especially 46-inch. Pretty awesome. So that news is up on the BBC. A lot of talk about it today on the net. So a lot of happy gamers over in Europe. Any of the listeners in Europe, did you guys get a PS3 today, or did you not even bother? And by the way, there were no riots. No one got shot. As far as we can tell, there was no muggings. That's what happened in the United States during the rollout. But a lot of happy campers over there, people smiling from ear to ear. Hey, those of you that, I know there's a few of you probably listen to the show that do play poker online, well, you know, or even gamble online. If you're in the United States, some of you may have been affected by the federales going after those of you that were doing that and shutting down bank accounts and seizing stuff. But it appears that they're going to open up where the Department of Justice is going to return $55 million in frozen asset to those of you that have had some funds locked up over the next 75 days. And, you know, this is a big thing. You know, it's Hawaii, you know, in Las Vegas is considered the ninth island. There is so many flights going to Vegas out of Honolulu every day. They might as well have casinos here, but they don't. If they did, probably they would put a couple airlines out of business. But a lot of people gamble at home. I know they do that. I know that it is big with people playing poker these days online. But just think about that. They had $55 million in frozen assets of people that were using doing online gambling. So we'll see what happens there if these firms start giving money back to those of you that have had it locked up by the feds. But U.S. gaming is going to, you know, it's obviously illegal to do that online. That hasn't changed. But there is going to be a little bit of a relaxation to get people's money back. Now, in the most interesting story of the day, the MPAA's bootleg sniffing wonder dogs are on a pirate's hit list. Check this out. it seems that a couple of canines that have a good talent to smelling plastic were involved in a supposed bust that helped to find $3 million worth of fake DVDs. Now, this number came from the MPAA, so it was probably not very accurate. But and this happened in Malaysia. So I guess there were some people that weren't very happy about this. And there has been some reports that a contract has actually been taken out on these dogs to have them eliminated because of their capability and what they have done in shutting down these DVD bootleggers. Now, I read this, I'm like, I thought it was a joke. And I checked the calendar, make sure it wasn't April 1st, but this made it on more than one site. So there must be some legs to this. But to imagine, these poor dogs are on a hit list because they were able to sniff out $3 million worth of DVDs, duplicating machines and other equipment. Now, what did that equal to in real dollars and what it would have brought on the streets? Probably another story. But I didn't realize the MPAA had a law enforcement arm in Malaysia. That's the question needs to be asked. Were these dogs flown into Malaysia and then used in these in being able to sniff this stuff out? Or was this dogs that had been trained within Malaysia and it was a local MPAA? I didn't know that MPAA had branches outside of the United States, but apparently they do. But yep, these dogs are on a hit list. Just simply amazing. Now, on the last show, we talked about this SpaceX launch of the Falcon 1 rocket that was due to go up, which had actually gotten delayed. But Tuesday, they had a successful flight of their test rocket that actually made it, I guess, illegally into space. But they did have some problems. The Stage 1 worked as advertised and took them to the flight level that they needed to be at, and all systems were go. And then when the second stage kicked in, something happened, and there was some sort of an anomaly, and the engine shut down, and apparently the rocket crashed in the ocean well short of its objective of going downrange into Kwajalein, range. So it they're real happy, though, with their results, and, of course, their goal, SpaceX goal, is to be essentially a light lift provider, putting a light satellites up in the air, or actually in space, that I believe weigh less than 1,000 pounds. Maybe it's 1,000 kilos. I'm not sure. One of the two. Big difference there in weight, of course. But this all went good for them, so they're real happy. So this sets the stage for their first commercial lift later in the summer. So congratulations, and at the same time, sorry for the mishap for the SpaceX people. Now, of course, all of you listening to the show here, and it's, of course, entitled the Geek News Central Podcast, but a new site has launched. It's called Geek Dad, and it's over at geekdad.com. And those of you that have kids and you like to play around with cool stuff like robotics and rocket engines, you know, all this different types of stuff that dads normally do with their kids, you can go over and get some real cool ideas over at geekdad.com. They got some really over-the-top projects and some Saturday afternoon type stuff. So go over there and check it out. Some great ideas. And first of all, a lot of this stuff will help your kids get involved in science, will help them get involved in technology, have some fun, maybe some things that you know, there was nothing more that I enjoyed doing when I was a kid than doing model rocketry. And I lived in the country, so we could shoot them anywhere. And really, it wouldn't be an issue. Just the main thing, we had to make sure we didn't catch a cornfield on fire or something like that. And I'm sure that those of you that live in metropolitan areas, you probably have areas that you can go to do this type of activities. But check it out, geekdad.com. Really cool site. And I was actually surprised to see some of the topics that they've got on there already. Quick launch, and I believe they're supported by Wired, so that kind of helps as well. Now, on the fair use side of the house, it appears that the Electronic Frontier Foundation has sued Viacom over a couple of Colbert parody clips. Now, for those of you that don't live in the United States, Stephen Colbert is a comedian. He has a political message primarily, and his videos, or actually a couple of his spots that he has done, were taken and remashed up by some political groups, which was poking fun at both Colbert and another website, another political website. So they went up and got those on YouTube, and Viacom requested those to be taken down through a DMCA takedown request. And because the EFF and the people that made the videos think that it was in fair use rights, they don't believe that the DMCA takedown notices were fair. So they're going to go back and sue Viacom now for requesting a takedown. And essentially, this is a way to kind of protect fair use. Now, depending on which side of the fence you sit on politically, you may think this is a good idea or bad. But I think, regardless, I think that just the simple fact that they're going to go out and, you know, they're trying to protect fair use rights here, it's important. You know, they had made a parody of this guy and created a video that depicted him in a different way. And in the end, you know, Viacom did not like that. But we all know that there's been a lot of cases, depending if it's in print paper. You know, you look at magazines, there's parodies put in magazines all the time, newspapers and so forth. So they're trying to protect the fair use of people being able to do parodies with original material. So, because obviously the parody is so over the top, and anyone that knows anything about this guy at all knows that this is not the way this guy normally reacts. So, you know, it falls within those fair use guidelines. And the Viacom disagrees. EFF disagrees with their takedown request. So we're going to see what happens here with this one. But it appears that the Electronic Frontier Foundation is getting a little more aggressive. They've done a couple of things recently that made me raise my eyebrows a little bit. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt right now. And I continue to support what they're doing, and we'll see how this this pans out. But I think this one is a legitimate a fight by the EFF. All right, big news today, of course, was that NBC and News Corp have announced a partnership. Now, this is pretty big because, you know, NBC, Fox, there's a bunch of different groups that are underneath News Corp that are, in traditional sense, competitors. When they're, you know, when you're flipping through the TV, obviously you go to a station that has MSNBC or NBC content. You go to another website that has Fox content, whether it be news or any of their programming. They are not generally working together. But today they announced that they are going to be launching, I guess probably what they didn't say, but probably everyone's speculating, is what they consider to be kind of a YouTube killer. And they've had a couple of, they had a public press conference online and answered a bunch of questions, which raised probably a lot more questions for most of us. But what they're doing here is they're asserting their right to distribute content that they control in a way that they feel is correct, so that they can wrap that content in IP. In other words, they can wrap it in DRM so that it's not shared the way that they don't want it to be, and they can wrap their advertising around it versus having YouTube or other companies make money off of their content. So what we're going to see here, and this is going to be a big thing for a lot of these other video sites out there, is that when they get this launched, you can almost bet, and I think they're going to be more aggressive, as we've already seen Viacom be aggressive with YouTube, is I think these rest of these groups are going to be hot and heavy on any site that has any type of copyrighted material on it. They're going to be protecting that IP very, very strongly, so that when they launch this new video venture, which is going to be, you know, it's going to be an advertiser's haven, because this is all going to be content that they're going to be able to wrap advertising around. The advertisers know it. There's no risk. They're going to be able to have, you know, they're working with groups that they've worked with before. So we're going to see what happens with this, but they're expecting June, July. They say it's sometime this summer. This is when this is going to come out, but they're going to build their own video venture where they're going to have all this different content from these different competitors all on one site. It's simply amazing. Now, they've said so far that they have signed up distribution partners Yahoo, MSN, AOL, and Fox, and NBC/Universal sites. And so this is quite the this has been speculated for a while. Now, a bunch of people weighed in on this positively and negatively, and I don't know really where I come out on the fence right now on this, because in all honesty, and what was confusing about the actual press venue that they had was that was that the heads of those corporations that are going to be leading this charge said that not all of the content would be free. So imagine you have a cable subscription and you get NBC, you get Fox, you get all their content for free, or at least through your subscription on your cable box. But there was some speculation based upon the way they were talking about it in the press event, was that some of that would be actual premium content that people would have to pay for. Now, I can understand them making people pay for movies and so forth, but it's going to be, they're going to have to thread the needle here real, you know, they're going to be real careful on how they thread the needle, because this could come off as a universal flop, to be honest with you. Execution is critical in this. We'll see how they execute it. And, you know, this is obviously a big deal, and it could affect a lot of companies' bottom line that are bringing in content that is, you know, controlled and under copyright by these other vendors that are actually creating this content. So only time will tell. Isn't it beautiful to be in the user-generated media space and not have to be worrying about all of that stuff that's going on? You know, really the worst we have to worry about at this point, being bloggers, podcasters, and videocasters, is these sites that are out there that are ripping off our written content on our sites by, you know, sucking down our RSS feed and putting them on another site to try to, you know, make money off of click-throughs that come through there on advertising. Or someone maybe taking our content and changing it up a little bit. That's really kind of the biggest worry we have right now. But I think this is a great time to be creating user-generated media. I really, really do. And I know that a lot of you have indicated on a survey that you're considering, you know, starting to create some content. And I guess my suggestion to all of you that are kind of sitting on the fence on this is to, you know, think about, can you do it for the long haul, and make sure that you're passionate about what you're doing and have fun with it. And that's all it really counts, is have fun and don't get hung up on what your audience size is. My mom's show over at sherrycast.com, we don't reach a high number of people, but the people we do reach, we know are important, that are earning for the message that we're, you know, talking about over there. And they're very, very active in responding to us as well, either publicly and privately. So, you know, it doesn't matter how big your audience is. It just depends on the message that you've got to put out there and have fun with it. So I think it's a great time to be in the user-generated media. I don't care what the mainstream media does, to be honest with you. And I'm obviously not going to go pay for something that I can get for free on my TV downstairs. All right, Twitter mania, and I guess that's the best way to say it, Twitter mania is just over the top. And we've talked about this over the last couple of shows. I put a link up today in my blog at Geek News Central that has a link to a cool application that you can use to automatically send updates to Twitter. And what I've created is a new user over on Twitter. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes tonight to that new user account. And all of you kids that want to can add me as a friend. And then what I will be doing is I'll be tying that Twitter account to some RSS feeds. Not necessarily just my blog RSS feed, but I'm going to do some mashups. And then as I find stuff from time to time, I'll toss it in there. And then you guys will be able to kind of see, kind of like, it's almost going to be like a link blog in reverse, where it comes through either via instant message or SMS. Now, I don't recommend that you get the SMS, enable that, because it drove me crazy. I had SMS turned on and I got about 50 instant messages in one day, and I just said, forget this, and I shut it off. So now I'm getting it through IM. But there is some discussion about what's going on with Twitter, that they may face some huge SMS bills. And in the United States, all of us pay for our instant messages. We don't, it matter how many we send or receive, we pay for those. Overseas, it's quite different. In Canada, Australia, and Europe, and I believe much of Asia, the actual sender pays for the instant message. Now, if Twitter's having to pay all, because if you look on Twitter Vision that I linked up in the last show, these people are posting from all over the place. And there has to be just a huge bill being racked up by the folks at Twitter. And, you know, where are they getting their money? There's no advertising on this space. There's no monetization model. I think they're hoping to get bought up in a hurry is what I think they're trying to do. But, you know, that's an easy replicated site. People could very quickly knock that off. And so it's going to be curious to see what the end result of this is going to be for that website, or if people are going to tire of it very, very quickly. All right, the cool website I found for you is called iJot, EYEJOT.com. And iJot allows you to allows you to record and send video messages anywhere, anytime. It's real cool. It's easy to use. I was playing around with it tonight. And video messaging in a blink, and that's what the site's all about. If you like to send video messages from time to time, you'll definitely want to check out iJot.com. Another website that I found tonight, and this is courtesy of Robert Scoble, was called SmartSheet.com. It's the smarter web-based solution for managing events, new hires, programs, tasks, teams, etc. A lot of these cool collaborative sites coming out. This one here was another one that really got my attention. You know, there's so many of these sites now that are out that have cool features. You really don't know what you want to pay a subscription fee every month for and which ones you don't. SmartSheet gives you the opportunity to try it out for free. And if you decide you like it, then you can go ahead and kick the feature list up a little bit by paying for a monthly subscription, which I believe, I'm going to look on the site here if it will load for me. I believe the lowest plan they have on this website is $25 a month. That gives you 100 smart sheets, unlimited number of users, and about 300 megabytes of storage on the site. Templates, branding, a whole bunch of other stuff is included in there. But it's very, you know, a lot of times I'm skeptical when someone says this is a site that really is going to change your life. But when Robert Scoble says this is a site that's going to change people's lives, I have to take it seriously. He doesn't say that lightly. You know, his opinion is respected. So check it out for yourself, smartsheet.com. All right, Edison Media Research has released the podcast audience reveal, new 2007 podcast statistics. And you know, as we've been doing a survey here, and I want to thank everyone that's already filled out the survey. And if you haven't already, there'll be a link in the show notes tonight to go over to SurveyMonkey and fill out my, I think, 22-question survey, of course, with a place in there to leave a comment as well. But these folks went out and polled people. I believe they called about 1,500 or 1,600 different people and did a survey on the phone with them. But there's a presentation available on this. It talks about the different demographics, talk about how many people have listened to podcasts, how many people haven't. Some of the highlights of it is awareness of the term podcasting increased from 22 to 37%. People who had ever listened to an podcast rose from 11 to 13%. And people who had ever watched a video podcast rose from 10 to 11%. You know, I think these numbers are a little deceptive. And I know very, very closely what the growth rate is for a large number of shows. I get to see this data every month. I also know what type of advertising return the vendors are seeing from advertising being run in within podcasts. I know the number of new listeners are coming on the show every month and other shows. And you, as listeners, are out there. You're telling people about podcasting. You know, I have a circle of friends that I know, and each of you have your own circle of friends, and I'm sure you've talked about podcasting to them. And, you know, some people are not technology inclined, and they get intimidated very easily with media. If they don't watch it on the computer or listen to it on the computer, they generally won't. So we're still got a little bit of a hurdle to get people to actually being able to take this content and have that Power of Walkaway content and take it with them. So I think what we need to do is this year is we really need to focus on getting the word out on podcasting. And they've got a few suggestions here too. But I think if you're interested in this type of information, you should go ahead and take a look at the PDF file that they released. Lots of good info. Those of you that are educators out there, this would be a great way for you to have some good material for the classroom as well. You know, I got an email a couple days ago to actually do a test on some USB warming knee pads. And while I have not responded to that email, because I really here in Honolulu do not need a warming knee pads. it's 85 degrees out. I'm sitting here in a t-shirt and a pair of shorts with no socks on. And I can guarantee you that if I was wearing a pair of USB warming knee pads, I would be sweating. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of stuff that you can plug into a USB port, but I would never recommend plugging any of this type of stuff into a USB. The power draw, unless you're using it for your computer and doing something productive with that USB port, be very, very careful. You know, they sell power adapters out there right now that you can plug stuff into that'll actually provide the power for these types of novelty devices. But you guys want to buy some USB knee pads? USB warming knee pads? Don't know what they cost, but if you're interested in them, link will be up in the show notes. Now, here is something I'd really like to have. It's called the Hammer Storage 2 TB Network Drive. Oh my goodness, 2 TB of storage in a nice, classy box. I definitely want one of these, folks. It's a network storage device that small homes and businesses would be able to use. And the 1 TB version is now on sale for $499. And the 2 TB version will ship in August. So probably be about twice as much. But this is a pretty nice way to get some super storage there at your home. And with all the media that you're collecting today, you know, it's good to look into some network attached storage that you can just sit and run all the time. And I believe that this particular unit has RAID 0/1 support. So the performance of this should be pretty good. And if you have a drive blowout based upon the RAID level here, you should be able to stick a new drive in it and the system will rebuild it. That's theoretically what's supposed to happen, and you will never lose data. But anyway, check this out. Hammer Storage, 2 TB of network storage. How many of you have ever been outside with your laptop, or you've sitting in a coffee shop and the sun was so bright that you could hardly see your screen? Well, the laptop shade for outdoor laptopsmen is available. And this is a no-brainer. I can't believe no one has thought about this before. But if you use your laptop a lot on the outside, this thing is like a little shield, a little hood that goes over the top of your monitor. And it blocks the glare so that you can work when you normally wouldn't be able to in a bright space. So this will be definitely an item that those of you that are outdoorsy types and those of you that are on the go a lot and sit in areas that are very, very bright and you're having a hard time actually senior computer monitor, I think this would be a good investment. All right, ladies, you need to listen up here. Is your favorite color pink? Well, I'm sure not all of you have your favorite colors being pink, but I'm sure many of you have daughters that their favorite color is pink. Starting on May 1st, you're going to be able to pick up a Zune MP3 player in the tone pink. So looks like Microsoft is going to be releasing another color. And of course, I'm sure I have a little 9-year-old in the house. If she sees this thing, I can hear there's going to be one word that's going to come out of her mouth. Dad! She's going to want one of these. Well, she better get a job, because I'm not buying a pink Zune. There's enough MP3 players around here that, believe me, I won't have to go out and buy a pink one. They'll have to settle for something that's in the house, a hand-me-down. All right, folks, back in the early days of the internet, well, not so early, actually, but back in 1998, a federal law was passed that was designed to keep adult materials away from children on the internet. And that law was called the Child Online Protection Act. Now, this act was designed so that when children, or anyone actually, went to a website, there was a little notice on the website that would indicate that the site complied with COPPA, and there would have to be some extra steps people would have to do to get into the site to see this type of adult material. Well, this this law has had some problems in that it's been consistently under attack by different groups to try to get it repealed or struck down. But it appears today that a senior U.S. district judge has blocked the 1998 online law, and that they're saying that times have changed so much, and the different ways that people are being exposed to material, like from sites like MySpace, etc., that you know, it's not effective, because the law was only designed originally for commercial web publishers. Now, what we're seeing is we're seeing that over on MySpace and different places, people are being subjected to or being able to see material that they necessarily shouldn't be, depending on their age. And so this judge has struck this thing down. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with this here, but this really, this law was never enforced. And, you know, I don't think, has anybody ever heard of any being prosecuted because their site wasn't in compliance with the Child Online Protection Act? You know, it was pretty ineffective. Kids are going to find what they want to find anyway on the internet. It's up to the parents to, you know, monitor what they're doing. But this federal law has got some issues here, and there's definitely going to be, I'm sure, an appeal, and there has been several already. But this ruling again blocks the 1998 COPPA Act. So we'll keep our eyes peeled and see how this continues to develop. Now, I'm sure this next article is going to hit home to many of you. How many of you have seen a Verizon advertisement on TV that talks about DSL and how supposedly fast it is? Or you've seen a Time Warner advertisement talking about how fast Roadrunner is, you know, being X number of times faster than cable, being X number of times as fast as DSL. I would mess up, you know, if I would be a terrible comedian. I really, really would, because I would blow the punchline every time. So essentially what has happened here, all these companies have made all these different kinds of claims, and really no one knows what these companies really have. They don't know where their connectivity ends or where it starts, as far as what areas they're in or what areas they're not in. So out in Maryland, the Maryland lawmakers were working on a plan that would force ISPs in the state to present a quarterly report on exactly where they offer service and at what speeds in order to help the state solve broadband penetration issues. Bravo. This is huge. Well, it turns out that the ISPs are saying, oh, that would be a terrible burden for us to be able to compile this data and tell you what type of speeds our network offers. In other words, what they're trying to do here is they don't want anybody knowing what their speeds are in whatever areas. They don't want to have to report to some government agency, because they use that against us, use that against public utilities and stuff in small towns, when they are essentially have a monopoly on broadband. You know, they don't want to tell what's available and what isn't, because, you know, then the government would be able to map out who has connectivity and who hasn't, and there could be some changes done to franchise laws, etc. So they are not at all going to be willingly giving up this data. And I think this is great. I think this is great information. It should be shared. It should be put out there. There used to be a magazine called BoardWatch, and it was actually produced by, it used to be the actually a BBS magazine, and it switched to, well, it was, it started off as a BBS magazine, then it went to an ISP. It had two or three iterations, and it just essentially moved with the times. It's not in print anymore, but that was a magazine that printed yearly, an ISP list, their connectivity rates, what area codes they covered, what extensions. It was a great guide to give you a really detailed look at what services were available in specific communities. And I think this is terrific what the Maryland legislation is doing. And let's hope that they stick to their guns on this, because it may open the eyes to other states on some of the issues that we're seeing with people being able to get broadband access in rural areas where there's holes in coverage. You know, and then when they find out where these holes are at, the state can go back and pass and share this information with the local municipalities, and they can go out in their hearings and say, why? Why? We're paying all this tax, we're paying all this money in that's on all these bills. How come you're not building out the area? And they also can stop these companies from doing false advertising in the areas as well. All right, it seems that a day doesn't go by without the RIAA being in the news. And our segment today on the RIAA is brought to us by the Recording Industry versus the People.blogspot.com. It talks about the ongoing saga where the RIAA does not want to give up their information on how much they're spending on a specific case. So apparently this judge in this case between Electra versus Santiago, the judge has denied the RIAA's motion to dismiss the case without prejudice, saying that Mrs. Santiago is entitled to have her legal status resolved one way or the other. In other words, either pay her legal bills or take her to the court. So we'll see what happens here. But the RIAA does not want to go to court against her. They know that they are probably going to lose this one, and they don't like losing cases. So they asked for the case to be dismissed without prejudice, which essentially leaves her holding the bag on her legal bills. But that the judge is not having any of that. He's saying, no, I'm not going to allow you to do that. You're going to have to pay your legal bill. And since you're squawking a little bit on that, let me see how much you actually spent on this litigation yourself. So we'll see what happens here with this. Developments continue to come out on it. All right, I am getting a pop-up on this. Is driving me crazy. All right, over on a website called techrestore.com, there is a Apple TV unit dissection, and there's a lot of news about people getting their Apple TV units that they're spending, I believe, $299 on. Lots of reviews out now about the Apple TV, some good, some bad, some people are disappointed. Essentially, what the Apple TV device allows you to do is you're able to hook it up to your television set. By the way, they don't provide any cables, so you're going to have to go out and buy your own HDMI cable. But the Apple TV hooks up, you boot it up, you got a remote control as a essentially your keyboard, and it drives all the menus. And what it does is once it boots up and you go through the configuration, get it up on Wi-Fi, it gives you a code that you end up putting into iTunes. And this device will connect to either a Windows or a Mac in your house, up to 6 different computers. It will essentially suck in all your media, at least whatever the 40 gig drive can hold, whether it be audio files, pictures, movies. Now, it won't play all movies. It's not going to play a lot of stuff that you've probably downloaded via BitTorrent and so forth. It obviously will play stuff that you can get through the Apple iTunes Store. There's a couple of different varieties of media that it will play, but it does not do DVR functions. And if you make changes to your library, the device has to essentially resync all that data. And over Wi-Fi, it can take a long time. There's been some big complaints about people saying that the transfer time has been excessive. But otherwise, there's been other side of the fence, a lot of people raving about this unit. And they're really, really happy with its utilization and think the performance is pretty good. I think for $299, I think I could have waited, or we'll wait and see if they'll ever put any DVR type functions into it in the future, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense to buy a $300 unit that cannot be used as a DVR today and have time shifted stuff automatically being processed on that box. Anyway, do you have an Apple TV? Let me know what you think about it. All right, there's a controversial article over on conservablogs.com saying, is Netscape using bots to try and stir up discussion over at netscape.com? The article is pretty inflammatory, but the comment section is worthy of reading itself, because the folks at Netscape came over and said, no, we're not using bots. Are you ridiculous? Can you imagine us doing that? Well, this guy has had some interesting experiences by posting stuff up on Netscape and some activity that appeared to be bots. Now, it may not have been bots from the actual folks at Netscape. It may have been some sort of Trojan horse that was running from different people's computers, driving the bots. Who knows? But anyway, this guy said, you know, he's putting articles up and people were automatically essentially commenting on the material almost immediately after it was put up. And also, I think they've got a dig-like system over there, so they were digging the shows almost immediately. And those of you that have been with the show for a while probably remember that we had put together a widget for people that wanted to listen to the content over at Podcaster News. But the widget for Yahoo has been updated. Yahoo Widget 4 is now available for download. And the new version has a lot of cool new features for users as well as developers of widgets. And so check this out. It is pretty nice. So get your Yahoo Widgets version 4. And you can find that over at widgets.yahoo.net. All right, those of you that were sitting on the edge of your seats hoping to get your hands on Leopard next month, it does not appear that it's not going to be ready in April. People on the inside that are doing beta testing say that it is barely beta. It's not final, or it's not even a gold master. So it looks like they've gotten some reports. You know, people are speculating that the Leonard was going to be available in April based on historical records of releases in the past. But that does not appear to be the case here. So we're going to have to see, you know, if Apple responds. They probably won't. But they don't think Apple is going to be shipping a half-stable operating system based upon, you know, the history of the how well their operating systems have stood up from day one of their release. All right. Now, those of you that are standing up, please sit down, okay? Because here is a bulletin that is just going to shock and awe you. Surprise! Microsoft listed as the most secure operating system. Yes, you heard me correct. Surprise! Microsoft listed as most secure operating system. When I heard that, I'm like, huh? Are you kidding? And what they did is they actually rate this based upon the number of patches and the length of time that the patches were open, you know, with vulnerabilities. So it says here, the report found that Microsoft, in quote, Windows had the fewest number of patches and the shortest average patch development time of the five operating systems it monitored in the last 6 months of 2006. Said during this period, 39 vulnerabilities, 12 of which were ranked high priority or severe, were found in Microsoft Windows, and the company took an average of 21 days to fix them. Now, I thought, where's Apple in this? Well, they go down here a little further in the article. It says, despite the latest TV ads ridiculing the security in Vista, it appears, and is reported here, and I'm quoting, Apple has nothing to brag about. There were 43 vulnerabilities in Mac OS X, with a 66-day turnaround on fixes. And fortunately, they say, only one was high priority. For that fact alone, Apple and the Mac OS X was not rated as the most secure. This is kind of a curious antidote in that there's a report out today that it says that bots have surged ahead in March, where there's now 1.2 million PCs infected by bots. How many Macs are infected by bots? I don't think there are any. Now, not to say that the Mac doesn't have security issues from time to time, because, you know, Apple is patching OS X quite a bit, as indicated in the last article. But to say that Microsoft is the most secure operating system, I think that's quite a stretch. On the whole spectrum of things, there's probably a lot of people out there still running Windows 98 and versions of Windows that are more susceptible to attack than others. But I know most of you are like shaking your head saying, how can this be possible? Well, that's what they're saying. Okay, I put a pretty good article on my website a couple of days ago talking about how the music industry has just been cut off at the knees, in that CD sales have plummeted 20% compared to the same time last year. You know what? Guess what, folks? The handwriting's been on the wall for a very long time. Do you guys remember a website called mp3.com? Remember, they got shut down, right? Well, guess what? They knew a long, long, long time ago that piracy, peer-to-peer, file sharing, sneaker netting of music was going to really affect CD sales. For years, when people would buy an 8-track, it just didn't make a lot of sense to go and copy a bunch of 8-tracks and share them with buddies. It just didn't work out real well. People did it, but they didn't. Now, cassettes, people were able to copy cassettes a little easier. Now, when CDs come out, of course you could copy a CD, you could rip it, and then you could make a friend a copy. But when the peer-to-peer stuff really took off, that was the handwriting on the wall that some changes had to be made. But guess what? Did they change? No. They wrapped all this music in DRM. They made it real hard for us to share that data amongst multiple devices that we may have in our homes, even though that we were quote-unquote licensed to use it. And that there's another article on my website that talks about DRM at geeknewscentral.com that covers some of the stuff surrounding this. But here's my prediction. I give the music industry, I give the Walmarts of the world, I give the Targets of the world, I give any place that has CDs and DVDs and in their departments, I guarantee in 5 years, they're going to be gone. You won't even see. The only way you'll be able to buy a CD is you'll be able to buy it online only through some big warehouse system like an Amazon. It's not, the whole media space is changing. And artists are going to have to learn that they're going to have to start fending on themselves, because it's not going to be very long before we're going to start seeing fire sales where we're going to be able to go in, buy all this cool recording equipment that these recording industries have accumulated throughout the years. Because guess what? People can do recordings in people's own garages or in their, I could do recordings right here in this little mini studio that I have. And cut a track. Now, realistically, it's not going to happen. But you know what? There's bands that are doing, demo tapes and creating their CDs in garages every day right now with the technology available. So handwriting's been on the wall for a long, long, long time, folks. It really, really has. All right, I'm going to wrap up here. There's a lot of news going on about in the kind of space side, and some amazing science is being learned on the sun, and those two satellites that are out there that are observing the sun. A lot of cool stuff on that. So there was a bunch of stuff that I did lose tonight in the during the show prep when the software crashed, that I'll go ahead and let's try to dig out and then put up as regular blog post. But let me go ahead, and we're at 58 minutes here. Let me get into some audio comments. We'll get ready to play this really, really cool music track for you at the end. Definitely hang out, okay? You're getting an exclusive preview here. And courtesy of Brother Love. Brother Love hooked me up. But let's go ahead and get into a few voicemail comments, and we'll get into some email and then the music.
Hey, Todd, this is Joe from Oklahoma.
Hey, Joe.
And I'm calling, first of all, I am brand new to podcasting or listening to podcasts, and found yours pretty quick. And yours is at the top of my list. Absolute can't miss. If I don't have time to listen to anything else, I'm listening to yours just because I love the way you approach everything. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about the Phonality box that you were talking about. about a year ago, we put in an IP-based PBX system at the company I worked for and looked seriously at Phonality, but ended up going with a system from Pingtel, P-I-N-G-T-E-L, and they're at pingtel.com, and kind of liked their business model a little bit better. I believe they have a smaller turnkey system, kind of like what you're looking at as well. I'll try to remember to follow up with an email about it and tell you why we opted for Pingtel instead of Phonality. But if you want to email me back, I am Jay Fusco.
Oh, didn't want to get your email in there. Hey, thanks for that. That's cool. Great advice and a great website. Glenn, check this out. I definitely want to hear why you guys picked them over the other company. And, you know, what we're really looking for here and, you know, what I want to be able to do. Well, I can't tell you everything I want to do with these PBX systems because I got something in mind for a feature over at Blueberry. But well, that gives it away anyway. But anyway, check out, I'll put Pingtel up in the show notes tonight. And those of you that are interested in these voice IP systems or inexpensive PBX system, we'll definitely want to check out Pingtel as well. Hey, thanks for that comment. Great, great feedback. Hey, welcome to the Ohana. Welcome to the family here.
Hey, Todd, it's Susabel in St. Louis. I know you've been asking for people that are using Vista and their, you know, impressions and opinions and et cetera. We were asked at work to start trying to play with it. So they sent us home with PCs and monitors and a fresh, brand-new copy of Vista.
Cool.
And it's on my home network, and I've been playing with it for a couple of days. I decided that I really should start a blog and talk about the things that I encounter and the things that confuse me and maybe some solutions that I find and things like that. So I'm going to send you an email with that information in case you wanted to keep a kind of a look on that. I'll be posting almost daily about the things I've figured out or not figured out.
Where's it at?
So far, it's running okay, but I haven't pushed it very hard. So we'll see what happens when I start trying to load more programs and make it do more things and see how it responds. But and I'm sure there's others out there doing a blog or something like that that's keeping tabs on Vista, but I thought maybe you'd like to see this one. So you can look for an email from me. It should have Susabel in the name part. So keep up the good work. Love the show. Been listening for a little bit over a year and won't stop. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, mahalo for listening to the show, and thanks for being part of the Ohana. Hey, I'll definitely maybe your email came in, and maybe it's in the actual email comments tonight, but if it's if you don't see it in the show notes tonight, definitely send me an email. And, you know, everyone, when you call in, if you've got a website, go ahead and plug the website in your voicemail. Don't be afraid to. I won't cut it out. I won't, you know, I don't withhold voicemails because of, you know, someone's putting in a plug for their show or for a website. It's, you know, it's perfectly fine to do that. All right, let me go ahead and fire up the last couple here.
Hey, it's Ron, and this is a great podcast. I've listened for about a couple of, about 2 months, and I'm only 12, and I'm not 12, I'm 13, and I live in Northern Ireland in the UK, so this one sounds pretty good, and keep up the good work, and you can email me if you want, you probably don't, at aaron@firsteclipse.co.uk.
Okay, I didn't want to play the email address again. Everyone, if you know, follow up with your emails, follow up with your voicemails with an email address, that would be great. You know, do that via email at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, welcome to the podcast, and you know, tell your friends about the show, and hey, love to hear more about Northern Ireland. Really, really would. Okay, so don't be afraid to call back and make a comment on the voicemail line again, and welcome to the Ohana as well. All right, last email, last voicemail. Let's go ahead and fire that up.
Hello, Todd. This is Gernot calling in from Austria. Remember, this is Europe, not the other one, Australia, right?
Okay.
So I listened to your last show where Karen called in from Denmark, and you mentioned that you can be reached via Skype. I want to share a little information regarding an alternative to this. This is called VoIP Buster. You can find information at voipbuster.com. It's basically a service similar to Skype. You can dial out to landlines from your computer or even connect two landlines to each other, a service called Direct Call. The great thing about this is that it's free of charge for callers from the European Union to US or Australia or inside the whole European Union area. So I just want to share this information. Maybe the callers from Europe will maybe have a better chance to reach you. Okay, that's it. Show. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you so much for the call. And hey, great. That's good information. Definitely definitely looking for ways to always save people money is calling the show. So for those of you that are in the UK or in the European Union or Austria, not Australia, Austria, definitely check out that product. And I'll try to get a link up on the website for it as well. All right, got an email here from, who is it from? It says Craig. It said, hey, Todd, go to ID Conversation Podcast and listen to the 32107 show. It is great and is one of the best explanations of the craziness of the RIAA and the MPAA and what they're proposing to make all of our equipment obsolete. Love the show. Hey, and you know, Craig, I know they're trying to make all of our equipment obsolete by essentially getting restrictions built into equipment today so that 5 years from now when you have to replace that DVD player that dies on you, it has these new features in there that restrict the utilization and, you know, just basically tighten up fair use. So I'm well aware of that, but I'll definitely check out the podcast over at IT Conversations and have a listen to see what they've got to say. Got an email from Mike. He says, hey, Tom, my name is Mike Ferry. I'm a songwriter specializing in geek rock for people who laugh in the vein of later Beatles. They might be giants and talking heads. Perhaps your blog readership may get a kick out of what I do. And he says the sound clips are over at MikeFerryMusic.com and over on iTunes as well. Mike, I'll put a link up in the show notes to that and check that out as well. I got a... Oh, this one here I can skip. This was actually a PR person. I got an email from Felix. Hey, started listening to the show a few weeks ago, my bro. He's a friend. Lawrence got me hooked. He does a lot of video stuff here in Dallas. And Felix was one of our listeners. And appreciate it, Felix. And we'll be getting out that gift back to you. And hey, if you start podcasting, make sure you get yourself listed over at blueberry.com. Got an email from Mark. He says, hey, you'll enjoy this link if you haven't already seen it. And it talks about how the NFL has fumbled a DMC takedown, which could end up causing them actually some sanctions. And Mark was out of Dubbo, I believe that's how I pronounce that, North-South NSW Australia. I was going to say North-Southwest Australia. Is that where that's at? And he says, P.S., I've dumped Vista off my MacBook Pro. Maybe then, maybe when they get it to work properly. So... he'd been using it on his Mac. All right, what else have I got? Oh, I got a link. They did get that email from Susabel. We'll put that link up in the show notes. Oh, Susabel, where did you need to go get a domain? Go over to GoDaddy and pick up a domain name because this domain is going to be really, really hard for people to remember. It's called goodtacbadtacuglytacvista.blogspot.com. Go over to GoDaddy, get yourself a domain, and then forward it over to the blog. That way you'll be able to, you know, give people a real short URL. You know, you can probably pick up a Vista type related domain pretty easy. Just going to have to, you know, maybe work at it for a few minutes to find one. But thanks for that link. Okay, got an email from, Michael. Tom, oh my goodness, real long one from Tom. Tom, super email. I am sorry I can't go through and read this whole thing, but he talks about his Vista upgrade and some of the things that happened with him with that. All right, I think I've got everything here. There's some more people that send in. Of course, people send in their email addresses, of course, and not email addresses, but their addresses for the gift packs. I'm just looking down through the email here. Yeah, I think that's all we're going to cover tonight. Let's get into this music. Hey, so many emails come in that I don't normally get to read them all. I know I read them all myself. But I don't get to read them on the air. And I do appreciate every comment that comes in. And generally, I'll try to reply, and I don't always get to. But again, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can send your voicemail comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. It's getting very late here. And of course, we'll be back with you on Tuesday. And I'll probably have keep my fingers crossed that we'll have this announcement up on the website and a special podcast as well here over the next 48 to 72 hours. But everyone take care. Have a great weekend. And let's kick this Brother Love song up. Now, what this is, and those of you that have ever heard of the Soccer Girl podcast, this is a song about, this is Brother Love's song to Soccer Girl. Check this out.
You're so explicit, your show, I'll never miss it, no. You and me should kick it. Computer screen, I want to lick it. Come on. Come on. Not trying to pump you up or inflate your ego, no. Something about us just clicks. Don't you know? I tune in week after week. I wanna be a hot stud loving internet geek. Yeah.
Go, Brother Love.
Ooh, like the way you move, oh yeah. Ooh, like the way you talk, yeah. Thank you, Soccer Girl, for making my nights. I come home, tune you in, and I turn out the lights. I'm your number one fan. You don't know who I am. Yeah. Plug into your frequency, my iPod's dirty little secret, yeah. Daytime librarian, nighttime on the freak show, yeah. Kick it.
Pick it, Brother Love. How? Oh, was that awesome or what? You all have to come to the Blueberry Jam. You really do. If you live near New York City, you know, mark it on your calendars, April 7th to the Canal Room, close to Times Square. It's going to be an awesome, awesome concert. Brother Love's going to be there. He's going to be kicking that tune, and he's going to be debuting his whole album. And all as a charity event to support cystic fibrosis. And we hope that if you can't be there, that you throw a donation up over at blubrryjam.com. And 100% of those proceeds go back to the foundation and help us support and fight cystic fibrosis. Thanks, folks. And have a great week. I hope you enjoyed this song. I know I did. You're not going to hear that anywhere else. Aloha.